talking to the Queen of Crime, Val McDermid. Her latest book is called Still Life. It is a book which features Karen Perry and sort of four central characters, four different sets of books. This is a new one to the Karen Perry Library, and I'm delighted that the author is on the line to us from somewhere on the other side of the world. Val, good afternoon.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself?
I can't complain, really. I wish the weather was a bit nicer, but it's raining today, so...
You're Scottish. For generations and centuries, you've wished for the weather to be nicer.
Well, we always say, you know, the thing about weather in Scotland, if you don't like it, wait 10 minutes, it'll be different.
And it has also given you a wonderful set of dialect words for the weather and how to describe it, which is one of the, I know I was going to bring this up later, but it's one of the things I really enjoyed about this book, was just being reminded of these glorious slang terms that the Scots have for weather and all sorts of other stuff as well.
Yeah, well, we like to think that Scots, the speech of Lowland Scots, is a separate language, really. But I restrict myself to things that can be contextualised when I'm writing. There's no point in putting words in just for the sake of using them when the reader can't understand them.
Yeah, but it's nice to guess. Nice to go, oh, I know what that must mean, and can I remember it so I can use it as well.
Exactly.
Val, yours is the first book that I have read which has COVID not as part of the storyline, but it is in the book. I've just read Ian Rankin's latest, and he addresses COVID in an author's note at the end of it. But COVID makes an appearance early on as, you know, two of the main characters going, there is this thing, is it coming towards us? And I'm not giving anything away by saying at the end of the book the characters are preparing to go into lockdown. And you say in your author's note at the end that you found it incredibly difficult to concentrate on writing during the COVID period, and you wrote most of this book during COVID. And this kind of, yes, because we all know how difficult it has been to think straight and do things normally during COVID, but writers are used to loneliness, used to isolation, but it affected you as well.
Yeah, I think so. The normal state of isolation that I would be in to write my book is essentially the beginning of the year, the first 3-4 months of the year is when I tend to write. But it's not normally underpinned by a sort of low thrum of anxiety. I think all of us at the start of this year, we had no idea what was coming for us. We had no idea what this was going to mean for us. And I think, I mean, I've spoken to other writers, friends of this, and we're all saying the same kind of thing, that when we were working, you know, we're checking the news much more often. We're checking what Twitter's saying. We're checking our email just to keep abreast of what's happening around us. And it has been harder to concentrate. I mean, I did finish my book in plenty of time to be published on its normal schedule, but I found that I was writing less in a day than I normally would. So it took me longer to get to the end of the book, if you like.
Was there a temptation to make COVID more of a player in the book rather than a once referenced sort of in the first 20% of the book and then the closing references as the main characters prepare for lockdown? Were you tempted to put it in to a greater extent than that?
Not really, no. I mean, I this book in my head from when I started planning it last summer was always going to be set in February 2020. And when I started that planning, of course, I had no idea what February 2020 and beyond would mean for us. So that, as I say, was where it was kind of set in my head. And I'm bound to say that I'm glad I did that, because I wouldn't want to write about COVID as it has happened, because I think it's very difficult to write about something when you haven't got solid ground to stand on. And the problem with this pandemic is that every day things have changed. Whether it's locally or nationally or regionally, things have shifted. What we understand of what's going on shifts. So for a writer, I think it's very, very difficult to write against that, because you have the thought of when this book comes out next year, where will we be? What will the situation be? And in fact, all of my books really so far have been set against kind of real time. But at the moment, I don't feel comfortable doing that. So the book I'm working on at the moment is set in 1979, where I know what happened.
OK. I mean, you talk about the planning of the book, and is part of the planning is who are going to be your central characters. Because you've, what, there are five standalones, there are six Lindsay Gordons, there are six Kate Brannigans, this latest Karen Piri, Still Life, is the sixth, and then there are 11 Tony Hill and Carol Jordan novels, and I don't know whether I'm allowed to have a favorite, but I do. They are the Tony Hill, Carol Jordan novels, although the relationship which is developing between Daisy Mortimer and Karen Piri in Still Life makes me really look forward to the next one of these. So, I mean, how do you make that part of your planning?
Well, for me, the story is always the starting point for a novel. I mean, it's the characters that drive the story, but when I'm starting out, I'm thinking about, what is the story? What am I going to write about? Who dies? Why do they die? What's the world that they're living in? What's the story going on here? And as that starts to take shape, I know whose story it is. I know if it's something that fits Tony and Carol, it's something that fits Karen, it's something that fits other characters. It might be something that doesn't fit anything I've written so far, so I have to start from scratch, which is what I'm doing with 1979. And so each of those things, I suppose, demands a certain process, if you like. Once you're working with characters you've used before, you know what their limitations are, you know what their skills are. Tony Hill isn't suddenly going to turn into a sort of, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger He-Man hero. So you're always thinking about using what you know about them to shape the story as it goes forward. But that's the starting point. When I've got the story in my head, I know whose story it is.
I've just got a WhatsApp from a listener saying a fellow Raith Rovers fan is listening.
Excellent. We get everywhere, Raith Rovers fans. The Geordie Munros are everywhere.
look, the story, and how did this one arise? I don't like to give too much of the plot away, but there are two cases, and Karen Piri is with the Historic Cases Unit. She's looking into cold cases, and she is involved in a very fresh case where a fisherman had pulled a body from the sea. But Karen gets involved because he was a suspect 10 years ago in the disappearance of his brother, who was a senior Scottish civil servant in London at the time. So that kind of links the current case with a cold case. And then there is another cold case, which has a skeleton discovered in an abandoned camper van. And Karen has to try and juggle these two cases, one of which has a lot of political pressure on her to solve. The other is she wants to solve it because that's who she is. She wants to bring closure. She wants to understand what happened and, if possible, bring people to justice for what they did. So what were the origins of these two stories in this book?
I think part of what I was interested in was the nature of identity. And that came into the world of art in a kind of sideways way. I have a friend, Audrey Grant, who is an artist, and she came to me with an idea that she had for a project she wanted to do called The Long Look. And she wanted to make what's called longitudinal drawings. So every couple of weeks for about 2 years, I would go along to her studio and sit for her for 2 hours. And she worked essentially on the same drawings. At the end of the process, there were two drawings, but every week the drawing got erased and changed and shifted around. So every week at the end of the session, there was something different to see. And a friend of hers photographed each of the drawings. So the final exhibition showed all the photographs of the drawings and the processes. And I found it fascinating to see all these different representations of myself and my own identity. And sometimes there's some of the drawings where I could see my mother or my grandmother or, you know, that's my father's expression in those faces. But the thing that I really found most telling was that when I was at the start of a book, when I was kind of feeling my way into the book, the drawings themselves had a kind of vagueness, almost blurriness in places. But by the time I got towards the end of the book, where the book is the only thing I can see and the only thing I can think about, there was an electricity to the images, a sparkiness. And I found it fascinating that what was going on, if you like, inside me was showing itself on the outside. And that made me start thinking about the nature of how portraiture works, how art works. And at the same time, as happens often with these things, serendipity occurred. I stumbled across a book about art forgery. And that made me look at different aspects of identity, I suppose, in the art world. So all of these things converge, and then I start playing with them and start thinking about, oh, what if I did this? What if I did that?
And at what point did it become clear to you that this needed to be a Piri novel?
Fairly early on, because I could see that this was something that had its roots in the past, that it wasn't just going to be something instantaneous. And I think part of it, I don't want to say what it was that I read, but I read a paragraph in Alan Bennett's, one of his memoirs, and it just set up a lovely little thing that I used in the book. And that also made me start thinking about historical cases in relation to this storyline. Sometimes it's difficult to talk about these things in detail because you're given
too much away, which you don't want to do, yeah.
But ideas, I mean, ideas are all around us. It's simply a case of which ones you can find a thread that leads through you to a story.
Well, I'm delighted that there is The Still Life, and I highly recommend it to readers, and I look forward to the 1979 novel then. Thanks very much for making some time to talk to us this afternoon, Val McDermid, author of her latest book. It is called Still Life, a Karen Piri thriller.